Well, today we're going to talk about fatherhood. Guess what? It's Father's Day. Let's talk about fatherhood. One of the first things that I want to do is show you a video on what it means to be a dad. I've enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed too.
Hey, kids. Mom needs more help inside.
Hey. How many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey. What's it like being a dad?
Kiss her, Daddy, kiss her.
Hashtag gag me.
Ugh.
Mr. Clamps has been sleeping for 2 days, Daddy.
Goodbye, Mr. Clamps.
No.
All right, just slow down a little
Dad,
bit.
Dad, stop yelling at me.
I don't think that's... Oh, okay, okay. And that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees.
Down the phone!
Yeah. I am so proud of you, son.
Run.
Huh?
Run, it's gonna blow!
Have I told you lately?
I know, Dad. You love me. You tell me all the time.
Actually, I was going to tell you I think you're beautiful. Inside and out.
Whatever. Dad, you are disgusting.
Yeah, Dad, you are disgusting.
This right here goes to your future, this right here goes to you, and this right here goes to God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much does God get?
What's wrong, beautiful?
Trevor broke up with me.
Thank you, Lord.
He's such a jerk. He broke up with me on a text message.
He just replied.
Dad, I can't believe you! Thanks, Dad.
He didn't deserve you. He didn't deserve you. One, two, three! Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
has the coolest job. Getting to make clouds all day.
Yeah, he does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Daddy.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
Wasn't that good? My favorite part was the fist pump, by the way. I wish I would have thought of that when I was, okay. So, well, let's start off with a question. A father has the power to give his children something that no one else can. True or false? True? I know probably a lot of people didn't get to see Focus on the Family came out with a film called Irreplaceable. And it was kind of a documentary of a man who went on a journey around the world with the idea that family is in desperate straits around our world and crumbling. And what he discovered was the father in the family is truly irreplaceable. And the influence and the power that we have as fathers. Now, I would take exception with that. That there is someone who can replace me. And it is our Father God. And as a father, our roles are to point our children to their Heavenly Father. So, irreplaceable, Dad. Read a few articles this week, Focus on the Family came out with, and they talked about the power of fatherhood and the power of presence, not doing anything but being there. You know, sometimes dads, all we got to do is show up. It isn't that we got to do anything or say anything, we just got to show up. I found that true in my own children's life is just showing up. A lot of parents didn't even show up. And that made an impact upon those kids. But showing up and being there present for their activities and what was important to them at their time in life. I have this memory, and I may have shared it with you, of my daughter, Laura, and cross-country meets. You know, our daughters ran track and cross-country. Well, if you've ever been to a cross-country meet, that is probably one of the most boring things that you could ever go to and watch. I mean, what are we going to do? Watch a pack of people start, and then they go off and run 2 or 3 miles. Then you watch them end, and, you know, in 20 minutes, it's over. And if it takes longer than that, they've lost, and, you know, on and on and on it goes. Well, that's not how you watch a cross-country meet, by the way. It's your exercise, too. You learn the course, and you run from one spot to another, and you cheer them on as they go by. Well, I was going to, you know, as a pastor, I have the privilege of setting my own schedule, by the way. And if sometimes I tell you I have an appointment, well, it might be an appointment with my wife, but it's an important appointment. But I can make those appointments with my kids. And when they had a cross-country meet, I had an appointment, by the way, and I was at the cross-country meet. And I got there a little late one time, and, you know, the meet was about to start, and so I'm trying to look for my daughter, Laura, because there's hundreds of people there, hundreds of runners. It was one of those big ones. And so I walked through the crowd, and there came Laura. And she came right up to me and gave me a great big hug. Now, you got to understand, she was already warmed up, so she was already sweating. So this sweaty teenage girl was giving me this embrace and crying. She was so anxious and upset about, you know, the race getting started. Well, you know, all I had to do was show up. But, you know, I prayed with her. I just embraced her and I prayed with her. It's one of those tender moments that I have, and I prayed with her, and she went and did one of those personal bests, you know. They don't tell you if they won or lost. It's their own personal best, and she did a personal best. So an intimate moment, showing up, being there, power of your presence. You know, this grandparenting. Now, I got a plaque. I've gotten words from my kids already about Father's Day. But one of the plaques, I just thought, whew, says, The only thing better than having you as my dad is my grandchildren having my children having you as their papa. I'm the not grandfather. I'm the papa. And I thought about that. Well, you know, parenting. It's like we've raised our kids, but they're none of those grandkids, right? Well, I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to be a grandpa. Well, our grandkids were with us here a few weeks ago. And these middle children, you know, they are unique children. My wife is a middle child. I'm a middle child. We're all unique. But it was Lydia and Sarah, cousins. Now, they are BFFs, you know, best friends forever. So they're bonding, getting together. Well, then little Andrew, you know, the ornery little boy. They kicked him off the trampoline. Can you imagine that he wasn't behaving himself on the trampoline? So they kicked him off. He comes over, and he's crying and puts his head on my shoulder. And my son, Eric, gives him a ride on the tractor. Now, then Lydia and Sarah, the dynamics here, they're all upset and up in arms as how come he gets a ride on the tractor and we don't get a ride on the tractor. You know, he can be bad on the trampoline and then we kick him off. He comes crying to you. So we're right in the middle of this sibling rivalry and I'm not raising these kids. I'm just their papa. Well, Lydia, she gave me some attitude that was quite disrespectful. And when we got in the car, it kind of ended the whole night. We got in the car and headed home. And I said, Lydia, I didn't appreciate the disrespect that you showed me. We got home. I said, Lydia, I want you to go upstairs, get your jammies on, and go straight to bed. And I kind of said it in a way that she understood I meant what I said. And well, then she comes downstairs. And I said, Lydia, I thought I told you to go upstairs and get in bed. Well, she's got this. She's asking me to forgive her. Saying she's sorry, this repentant heart, and we had that embrace. Now, those are tender moments, aren't they, with grandkids? So you don't stop parenting, do you? I guess you help parent those grandkids just like you parented your own kids, and it continues on and on. Yeah, the power of presence. Now, the power of perseverance. Do you guys know about the Velveteen Rabbit? You know, it's like these toys are talking about, you know, when do you become real as a toy? Well, toys aren't real. Well, the Velveteen Rabbit says, generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. There are some real people in this congregation. Some of you are real. One granddaughter had a stuffed animal, a little puppy dog called Shadow. Shadow was black, a black dog. And she treated Shadow like he was real. Well, one day, she's out playing with her friends, and they were telling about their dog. And they asked her, do you have a dog? I said, yeah, I have a stuffed animal dog named Shadow. Oh, but it's not a real dog. So then, you know, they had the intercom on, you know, where the little... they could hear downstairs what she's saying upstairs in her bedroom. Well, she's talking to Shadow when she went to bed that night. And she said, Shadow, you're not real. But Shadow will probably be there when she gets married. She's 12 years old. So the power of perseverance. Now, with the power of perseverance, they talked about the prodigal son and the perseverance of the father, who rejoiced when his son came home, and the son who was lost is now found. The son who was dead is now alive, and the perseverance of dads of not giving up on their kids. The power of permission. Permission to step, run, fall, or stumble headlong into a great big world. You know, they said, mothers, when you carry a child, you carry them facing you. You know, so they are embracing your body as well. And that's kind of that protective mother nature. Well, then they said, Dad, you know, we often carry a child with the child facing out, you know, showing that, you know, this child is facing this world. And so we do as dads oftentimes, you know, have that opportunity to give them that opportunity to step out on their own, to explore, to grow and to experience some things in life. And say things like this. Yeah, I believe that you can. Well, why don't you give it a try? Rather than always saying no and sometimes exasperating, or saying yes and being overly permissive, but being there. Now, what I've learned over the years is we want our children, as they grow up, we want them to make mistakes while they're still home, because then we have the opportunity to help them through those difficult times. If they don't make any mistakes until they get out there in that world, who's going to be there that will help walk them through and carry them through that? So as dads, you know, there's that power of permission to explore and take on some responsibilities in this world. The power of perception. Dad, look at me. You know, we live in a world sometimes where one size fits all. But the reality of our children, and you know this as well as I do, that every child is different. Every child is unique. Well, what I've learned as a father is no one on the planet knows my son as well as I do. No one on the planet knows my children as well as I do. So when my son was going through things as he was growing up, I can still remember that moment when he was struggling with some of life issues. And I knew exactly how he felt. I knew exactly how he thought. I knew exactly what he was going through, because I went through the exact same thing. And I could be there with him to help him walk through and carry through that. Now, my daughter Amy, she's one of those that would challenge you a little bit. And so she married Mark. Well, Mark came from this family structure, and Amy came from this family structure. And they're trying to blend these two and make some sense out of their marriage and family. And those first years of their marriage were a little difficult. And so Mark would talk to me, and I would try to give him insight into the mind of my daughter and the heart of my daughter, because, you know, I knew her better than anyone else, and I wanted him to get to know and understand where she was coming from and all that. And I always said to them, you know, if you guys get it together, you're going to be a great couple, but you just got to work through some of this stuff. They just celebrated 20 years of marriage, and they've got a beautiful family. The power of pointing. You know, we don't have to know everything or do everything as dads, but we need to be able to point our kids in a direction. And I used to say to my son, you know, if you'd go up to Lyle, he would tell you everything about farming, everything he knows. He'd love to just talk your leg off, telling you everything he knows about farming. And if you went up to anyone in the church, go talk to these men. They'd love to just tell you, well, he learned about photography. He learned about electricity. He learned about all these different things. I couldn't tell him anything about any of that stuff, but there's people that could. But the most important person we need to point our children to is Jesus. Point them to the Lord. And we have that opportunity to do that as they're growing up. Power of pointing. Well, as I went and thought about this whole idea of fatherhood, some people would see God, and they say we see God from the perspective of our earthly father, gives us the image of our heavenly father. And as we look to the Old Testament, we've been doing a lot in the Old Testament, and we see God as the patriarch. The patriarch was the father who rules as head of the household, that person who you give the utmost respect to as the authority. But he also has the responsibility. He has the ultimate responsibility for guarding, supporting, and helping all of those members of his household. So if we think of God as the patriarch, you know, there are rules that we need to obey. There's respect that we need to give. The fear of God in reverence and awe and respect of God. There's the responsibility that he has to keep his every promise. And I thought, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, like a bull in a china shop, if I'm on a mission you know, get out of my way because I'm going headlong to accomplish that. And I'm not a real good multitasker. I'm just... Well, imagine God. He's got a responsibility to keep the promise that he made to the nation of Israel. Well, any people group or country that got in his way, you know, God eliminated them. God took them out of the way so his people could make their way, and the promise of God was fulfilled just as he gave it way back to Abraham. So God is the patriarch, and Isaiah says it this way, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah says it again. "Yea, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." He can make out of a lump of clay anything he wants. God is sovereign. God is in control. We see God in that light and who he is. This is my Father's world. He's creator. Well, Jesus begins to introduce us to him as Abba, as Father. And so there's a new word that comes in the New Testament, an Aramaic word called Abba. Father is the Christian name for God. He models for us, Jesus does, a relationship with as a beloved son. And it's his father, his dad, his daddy, like a little child would say, daddy. Here it is. The Hebrew word is Ab, father. The Aramaic word is Abba, baby language, baby talk. First word you want your child to say is daddy. Well, you ladies want him to say, her to say mommy. And sometimes we have that comment, oh, say daddy. No, say mommy. Now, he said daddy first. No, he said mom. Oh, what difference does it make? We're mom and dad. Abba, he's our dad. He's our father. Teach us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. If you ask, it will be given. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He is Abba. He is Father. He is Daddy. That is an important image that we have of God. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. He uses the analogy, there's 100 sheep. 99 of them are safe at home, but one of them is lost. So the shepherd is going to leave the 99 and go in search for that one lost sheep. Can you think of yourself that way? That you were once the lost sheep and God went on a search for you? And he would not stop searching until you were found and you were brought back into the fold, safe, at home, with him as your father? Abba, dad, you are that important. And there's more rejoicing in heaven over the lost sheep that's found than the 99 that stayed at home. Mark 14, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Here we have Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't we? In the Garden of Gethsemane, we talked about this at Easter. And I was just taken back with the idea that Jesus knew the cup of suffering, the cup of God's wrath was his to drink, which would separate him from the Father. The Son became sin for us which caused that separation. The Father, Abba, became the judge who sentenced his son to death, paying the price, the penalty for your and my sin. So now we read on in the epistles of the apostles. Romans, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians, because you are sons, God sent a spirit of his son into your hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now, sometimes I have asked people about the assurance of their salvation. And do you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your life? And people, you know, we sometimes know the facts of Scripture, the facts of the gospel, and they could easily say, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. As a little four-year-old boy, what's his name? You'd ask him, you know, any question of the Bible, and he'd say, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Who is Abraham? Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Who is Moses? Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He knew the answer. And sometimes we know the answer, so there's that intellectual understanding. And we've even gone through the motions and prayed the prayers. But true salvation comes when the Spirit of God enters into our life. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and generates in us a new life. And that Spirit bears witness with our human spirit. Imagine that, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, is bearing witness with our human spirit. And by that we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. So we know there's this relationship. It's not just a religious experience that we've had. It's not just an outward understanding that we have. It's not intellectual about all the facts. It's an experience and a reality that we live in a relationship, which makes all the difference in the world. Abba. Corinthians says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Wow. He is our Abba. He's our dad. You know, I love my dad. My dad's been gone 19 years. Dad taught me hard work and honesty. I will never forget those two things that Dad taught me. You know, I can tell you about days that I worked with Dad, and those were some of the hardest working days I've had in my life, and I don't want to work with Dad anymore. You know, we started early and ended late, and here's what he taught me. You don't stop until the job is done. Whatever it takes to finish, you finish the job. You don't stop. Dad taught me that. And then he taught me honesty. You know, I can tell you that story that we want to pass on for generations about the money he found and turned into the police, and it was cash money that he could have kept, a year's worth of wages, and he turned it in. He showed us honesty. But as a teenager, I was wanting to make sure Dad knew Jesus. And I found out that, you know, you don't, as a teenager, ask your dad or tell your dad what he needs to do in terms of his relationship with God. Well, I saw Dad grow in his faith and in his retirement years and later in life, and I know that he's in heaven. But I can't tell you that Dad pointed me to Jesus. Dads, we need to point our children to Jesus. We need to live it, model it. We are irreplaceable. The spiritual headship of the father and the family, the spiritual headship of the man in the church. We need to model it, live it, teach it. We need to be those godly men that our world is desperately needing. So the words that come out of our mouths, when we hit our thumb with a hammer. I heard a story told that, you know, when Dad and the brothers were working on the cars or working on anything, you didn't want to be around. Because, you know, if you've ever worked on that kind of stuff, anything that's broken you're trying to repair, anything that can go wrong is going to go wrong, and nothing's ever going to go well. Sometimes it goes smoothly, but that's sometimes the exception. And there's frustration and there's anger and on and on. Well, how do we express our frustrations and angers? How do we conduct ourselves when life is throwing us curveballs? Where earthly fathers have failed because they have been infected by sin, we can be sure that God will not. You know, all of these days, Mother's Day, Father's Day, they come with such a mixed bag, don't they? Because some would say, you know, my father, no. Some would say, I don't even know who he is or where he is. Never knew him. It is tragic what is happening to the family in our world. And if there's any place that we need to model, it's in God's family. And we all have those regrets. I wish, you know, I have some of those regrets about my own fatherhood. And I'll live with those for the rest of my life. But you know what? God wants us to be those men of God right now, today, and for the rest of our lives. And maybe we need to go back and ask for forgiveness or apologize, make amends, seek reconciliation. Take that initiative or effort. I have not always been the father that I needed to be. I have not always been there. I've not always done the right thing or said the right thing or been the model or example that I wanted them to follow. I don't know any father that has been perfect other than our Heavenly Father. And I've asked and sought the forgiveness of my kids in all those areas that I have fallen short and failed. He is our perfect Abba. And He desires for us to give Him all of our cares, all of our worries. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. He, your Heavenly Father, your Abba, He cares for you. Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to Him, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Is there anything? It's everything that we can give to Him. He cares for us. And in exchange for all of our worries and anxieties for, you know, what's going to come down or happen in this world, He gives us a peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, is ours when we live in that relationship with Abba as our intimate, personal, loving Heavenly Father that cares for us so much, loves us. How great is the love that He has lavished upon us? 1 John 3:1. How great is the love that the Heavenly Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. We're His kids. We're His sons and daughters. You know, that makes us brothers and sisters. Holy mackerel, this is getting scary. That makes us one big family of faith with one Father, one God, who loves every single child. You know, I come from a family of 6 boys, and we always tease, you know, who's on the top rung of the ladder? You know, who's mom and dad's favorite? Well, it's the baby, by the way. Yeah, it's my baby brother, Mark. He's 6'4", bigger than I am. We call him Baby Huey. But Mark, he's the favorite. It's always poor Mark, poor Mark. Mom, poor Mark. Bologna cakes. You have that in your families? Mark, yeah, he's a fun brother, 10 years younger than me. But you know what? There are no favorites. Imagine that. There are no favorites in God's family. There's no prejudice there. There's no, you know, I love you more than I love her. He wants all of us right there, drawing near, getting closer and closer. You know, grandkids are so fun. You know, when they were here a couple weeks ago, my lap isn't, I got a big lap. I got one on one side, one on the other. And they're kind of competing, you know. Well, I get this side, you get that side. Well, then there was the 12-year-old Abby, and she, you know, she wants to be in there too. Well, she got on Nana's lap. And she's just as tall as Nana almost, those legs. And but isn't that fun? I mean, how close can we get? You know, Lydia doesn't have any respective space. And she will get right in your face. I mean, right in your face. So we got pictures of us nose to nose. How close can you get to Dad, to Abba, to our Father? And sometimes we come away with this image of God that he's the great big God up there that you want to not get too close to, or you get zapped. That's not true. That's not the God that Jesus introduced to us. Our Father which art in heaven. That's not the Abba Father. He loves us. And whatever our earthly fathers could not be for us, our Heavenly Father is the one who is irreplaceable. He wants us to draw as close to Him, as deeply in love with Him as we can draw. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the Spirit of God bear witnessing to our spirit, and we cry, Abba. Do you have that witness? Do you have that witness of assurance of your salvation, that the Spirit of the living God lives and dwells within you, the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Father, it's fun to just remember all the good times of what it means to be a dad, a papa. I know, Lord, there are also those difficult things. And Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. Your grace is abundant. Your grace flows freely to forgive, to reconcile, restore, to heal, to help us, Lord, to put that stuff behind and press on. We thank you, Lord, for being that Father who lavishes love upon us. You have created us fearfully and wonderfully, and yes, one of God's great works is each and every one of us, fearfully and wonderfully created, and being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Thank you for the good work you're doing and the good work you continue to do. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that deep within our spirits, there would be that heart cry, Abba, Daddy. And we would know without a shadow of a doubt how much you care for us, how much you love us, more than we could ever imagine. And it would bring a real sense of peace and wholeness and healing that can only come from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for fatherhood. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close our service by singing